grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 11th chapter of St. Luke, the 20th verse, Jesus said, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." When we were baptized, and again when we were confirmed, we were asked, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" Through your godparents at your baptism, and you yourself at your confirmation answered that question, "I do." A simple answer to a simple question. But what follows isn't simple at all. Because in so answering that question, you in fact enlisted as a soldier in the battle against Satan and his legions. A battle that never ends until we leave this world and, like the poor beggar Lazarus, are carried by the holy angels to the paradise of God. You may have noticed that Satan appears in all the gospel readings for these first three Sundays in Lent. On the first Sunday, we heard of our Lord's struggle with Satan in the wilderness. Last Sunday, we heard of a Canaanite woman whose daughter was tormented by a demon. And now today, and on the fifth Sunday in Lent, we see Jesus' enemies accusing him of being in league with the devil. And if we ask why there is all this emphasis on the devil during Lent, the answer is that in the ancient church, Lent was the time when adult converts received their final preparation for their baptism during the vigil on Easter Eve, when they would be asked this question, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" Whenever the devil appears in the appointed readings on the Lord's Day, we note that it isn't easy nowadays to talk about Satan and his legions. Some people hesitate to talk about it for fear of being laughed at. And when Satan and his legions are mentioned, people tend to slide over the matter as if it doesn't mean much to them, or in fact, embarrasses them. After all, who still believes in the reality of Satan and his legions in this supposedly enlightened age? So many people assume that this is just another outworn superstition which has no place in this supposedly enlightened world. We have to admit that nowadays belief in the reality of Satan is dismissed out of hand and often treated as something of a joke. Just think of the popular picture of the devil in red tights with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. He's a comical, laughable figure. And that word devil has gone all the way from being a word of dread to being a term of endearment, as when a fine father might say of his naughty little boy, "He's a little devil, isn't he?" The devil, Satan, and his legions, there's no such thing. Now, the irony of all this is that this disbelief in the powers of darkness prevails in an age in which, as much as in any other, and perhaps more than in any other, there is so much evidence of Satan's malign purpose and work. I think that if we are not spiritually blind, we can in fact see this in the pages of human history. It's now been more than 100 years since the First World War came to an end on November the 11th, 1918. When I was a boy, we still called November the 11th Armistice Day, because that was the day when the armistice came, and armistice being the end of armed conflict. For 4 days before the armistice, beginning on November the 7th, the representatives of the Germans and of the Allied nations had been trying to work out the terms of the armistice. Well, you might have thought that beginning on November 7th, there would already have been an end to the killing. But no. The killing went on right up through 10:59 a.m. on November 11th. And even after the armistice had been signed, at 5 o'clock that morning, the troops were ordered to continue to try and kill one another right up until 11 o'clock. And so between November 7th and November 11th, 6,000 more soldiers were killed. I find it hard to imagine the mindset of generals who'd order continued slaughter even though they knew that it was less than 6 hours till the ceasefire would go into effect. When you look at something like that, How can one not see a more than human power of evil at work? Would that that sort of thing were only an old and sad tale from the distant past. But as we're all so sadly aware, it isn't. Satan and his destroyer, and he and his minions, continue to take delight in setting human beings against one another. They take delight in confusing and deceiving people and trying to destroy all that a good creator has called into being. In the epistle for this Lord's Day, St. Paul writes, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." Paul speaks of the works of darkness, the works of the powers of darkness. And this is what we see in today's world. Just think, for example, of the deterioration of the Christian understanding of marriage and the family. Here we detect the hand of the powers of darkness, of Satan and his legions. Because it's not only Holy Scripture and the faithful and constant teaching of the Church which tell us of the reality of the powers of darkness. Our own experience should convince us of this dark reality. And so we are called to prayer, as we are taught to pray in the daily morning and evening prayer in the Catechism. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Now, all of this can sound rather gloomy and defeating, unless we remember that Holy Scripture not only calls our attention to the reality of Satan, but also points to Christ's victory over him and his legions. And so, when in today's gospel reading our Lord is accused of casting out devils with the help of devils, Jesus replies, "If I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, the kingdom of God has come upon you." Satan has met his match and more in the incarnate Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Through his great struggle with Satan in the wilderness, through his life of perfect obedience to his Father's will, always resisting every satanic suggestion, and finally pouring out his lifeblood to cleanse us from every stain of sin, Our Savior has defeated Satan. The decisive battle has been won. And now we but await the manifestation, the revealing, the unveiling of his victory on that last and great day, when the world as it now is will come to its end, and the risen Lord of love will make all things new. That new world dawned from the open tomb when the Lord Jesus rose victorious from the dead. That triumph we'll again celebrate with great joy, little less than a month from today. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.